The world gathers to talk about tonight's game. Unfiltered, uncensored, and wholeheartedly unapologetic. Get on the line with us right now. 865-200-5402. That's 865-200-5402. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The man who's been keeping it real for Vol fans for almost a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tony Basilio.
Basketball Jones, I got a basketball Jones. Got a basketball Jones, oh baby, ooh. Yes, I'm addicted to the basketball Jones. Ever since I was a little baby, I always be dribbling.
Tennessee Volunteers, ladies and gentlemen, are now 14 and 10 on the year. Game over 500 in the SEC as they avenge a loss to Ole Miss. And this one was equally as weird as that game at Ole Miss. And with 4.5 minutes left, I was getting texts from people stating things like, well, it was a fun basketball season. Too bad that one had to come to an end. Hey, Ole Miss has players. Ole Miss has players. And that was a quality win for the Vols tonight. I'm going to bring Tony Jones in here, former assistant head coach with your Volunteers back in the Bruce Pearl days. And current analyst also has a burgeoning school that he's running. They were blown away by the reception from the community over the weekend. I'll let him tell you about that. Tone, as I get you in under the moniker of Basketball Tony Jones, Tennessee wins 75-66. Tone, going to that last 4-minute break, it did not look good for the Vols down the stretch in this one.
I agree with you, Tony. I think, the situation kind of turned from
yep.
where it was in Oxford and where it was in Knoxville. I think that Ole Miss stole the game from Tennessee and Oxford, and Tennessee stole the game from Ole Miss
yep.
in Knoxville.
Yep.
I mean, it was a game that Ole Miss controlled. Tennessee led with about 5 minutes to go in the first half
and, yep.
and didn't garner a lead until under the four-minute mark in the second half. The most pivotal part
yeah.
of the game was
yeah.
when Ole Miss had the ball up five
yep.
and they missed the shot, and then they got the offensive rebound. And I believe it was, Brendan Tyree or it was Rasheed Brooks. One of those guys, or it might have been DeAndre Burnett. I really have to see the
It was somebody.
But, you know, all those guys are kind of similar players.
Yep.
But they threw a lollipop pass, back to the top, and Robert Hubbs intercepted it.
Yep.
And he headmanded it, using NHL vernacular, showing my versatility as far as sports is concerned. And, he headmanded the puck for the ball, to Lamonte Turner, and Lamonte knocked down that three. That was the turning point
Hitch.
In the game. Ole Miss scores a field goal in that possession. The game is over.
I totally agree
Mark
with that.
My word.
Yep. Look. Tennessee stole that game tonight. I mean, make no mistake about it. Let's look at some of the numbers. And the numbers say Tennessee stole the game. Ole Miss in the last 5 minutes turned the ball over 4 times. You can't do that. You're not going to beat anybody. And a couple of those were just unforced errors. Guys falling down,
right.
dribble drives, and, you know, out of control. And weird, really weird end of the game for Ole Miss with the way they handled the first 36. The last four were just... They just gave the ball to Tennessee, and Tennessee, I give Tennessee full advantage, or full credit, rather. They took total advantage of it, which is what you have to do. Hey, Lamonte Turner's got to hit that three. You got to knock that shot down. You know, you're down five there. That's a big bucket in that game. Let's talk here. I'll give you some numbers. This happened in our building tonight, which is kind of hard for me to comprehend, okay? Ole Miss turns the ball over 18 times. Tennessee only turns the ball over 12, which is why we're talking about a Vol victory tonight. But... when you start looking at rebounds, Ole Miss out-rebounds Tennessee 46-37. And they really punished them, Tony. They punished them at times on the glass tonight. Tennessee got really punished. On the defensive end, it was 26-26. Ole Miss had 20 offensive rebounds in a game they lose by 9. How many times is that going to happen in your lifetime?
It's not going to happen very often.
Right.
You know, what do you do with those multiple opportunities?
That's right.
What do you do with the second opportunity? Do you score the goal? What do you do with the third opportunity? Do you score the goal? And if you're not scoring the goal, then it's kind of fruitless to get the offensive rebound. Key stat that you mentioned is the turnovers. Tennessee had 7 turnovers in the first half, and in the game with only 12. I mean, only 5 in the second half. And I know, as a collegiate basketball coach, and then when I coached professionally last year, we would always say under 12 turnovers for a game, 12 or under. And they reached that plateau. Tennessee just made some big plays towards the end and during the intermediate part of the second half. Major Schofield's big three in the corner.
Huge.
When it looked like, Ole Miss was getting ready to just take control of the game. He knocked that down. I think that was a 5-point deficit also to cut it to 2. And then a huge play by Robert Hubb to save the ball from going out of bounds, to secure it, to get it to Grant Williams, and Grant Williams to score the goal to make it a tied ball game. And then, you know, Ole Miss comes down and has a fruitless turnover. And then we have a Robert Hubb sighting in the last part of the game. He makes a great drive, finishing with the left hand to put us up by 2. And then he knocks down another shot. It was a proverbial feeling of a game, and it was a game that Tennessee had to have, because if they don't win that game, you know, they're not on the bubble anymore. They're on the outside looking in, but you know, you got a hungry Georgia team coming in. I mean, it just makes the rest of the season very exciting, Tony.
It's fun. And we're going to go to the phones and talk about it. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us tonight on your Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, and I thank them for giving us the opportunity to do this. I thank you for joining us. We're with you after each and every Tennessee basketball game, and we've done this all year long, and Tony Jones is joining, and we'll also catch up with a couple of other folks as well once they vacate the arena. The game itself tonight was, so fortunate. So, you know, you gotta win these games when you can. When you get an opportunity and somebody gifts you something, you take it from them. At the end of the year, all they're gonna look at is your number. And, I'm sitting here just almost in disbelief at how that game turned out. It was, and Tony is so apropos because it was exactly like that first Ole Miss game. That first Ole Miss game, you went to that under 8 timeout and it looked like somebody hit a switch and different teams walked out on the court, which is exactly what happened tonight. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. On a night where Williams leads the Volunteers with 20 points in the basketball game, 7 of 12 from the field, gets the line 11 times and makes 6, had 7 boards, 3 turnovers in the game, played 27 minutes and scored 20 points. Hubbs, nursing the ankle, 18 points, 5 of 9 from the field, did not shoot a 3-pointer, 8 of 10 from the line, and Tennessee's foul shooting down the stretch was huge. Was absolutely huge. Tennessee, talking about numbers earlier in the game, from the foul line, they did not do themselves any favors. As it is, they end up 25 of 36 from the field. Rick Barnes got a serious whistle in that building tonight, Tone. 25 of 36. I'm talking about Ole Miss was getting killed, and things were not being called. And that's just the truth. I mean, you can deal with that or not deal with it or get mad at me or not. Tony, that Saiz guy, we were teeing off on him at times. There was a couple times when Sweet Lou jumped on his back and like pogo sticked on him, and they didn't call it. Your thoughts thoughts on the officiating tonight?
In my estimation, and you know what my moniker is.
Yes.
My handle is T. Jones. You know, it's T. Jones Live.
That's right.
He always keeps it real.
That's right.
And the refereeing was really, really bad. it was tilted towards Tennessee.
Yep, it sure was.
And that happens sometimes.
Yep.
In the SEC, but it was bad.
Bad. It's another break. Hey, I'll take it, Tone. I'll take any break you can give me at this point. But that was. Wow, we were teeing off on their big people at times, Tone. I mean, it was absurd, but you get away with it, you know?
And it happens. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, how many times are we going to talk about Kentucky getting a whistle? So what about Tennessee getting a whistle? But I'm surprised that you had three veteran officials that I've gone to war with that refereed my games when I was the head coach at Tennessee and when I've been in the SEC, Pat Adams. Mike Nance, who's the older brother of Larry Nance, the former slam dunk champion with the Phoenix Suns, and then TV Ted Valentine. It was bad. And Tennessee was in the bonus at around the 13 minute mark in the double bonus.
They sure were.
You're calling these fouls, and it makes the game sometimes. And if I wasn't an analyst and I wasn't, you know, a part of Tony Basilio's basketball overtime show and things of that nature, it's not good basketball to watch.
No, it's horrendous. Right. Yeah. It's a game tone that tipped off at 6:30 that ended at 8:48. Now, if that's what you want, more power to you. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. And let's get our first call in on your Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony. Stonewall here. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Appreciate you being there, man.
Man, I agree. I think we stole it today.
Yep.
But I'm going to take it. I am glad Pat Adams and Teddy TV didn't get a pair of glasses for Christmas.
Yep.
So you saw what we saw.
You saw what we saw then. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty pathetic, but, you know.
I'll take
it's it. Something that it's basketball, and I'm just like you. If you want to see an hour and 38-minute game, then so be it. But, hey, I'm regardless of us stealing the game, I mean, I thought we had some pretty good ball handling mm-hmm. here and there. I think we had 18 assists, and, I mean, 9 blocks in the paint. I mean, that was huge. That mm-hmm. whole second half, that really got us turning
yep.
around. And I'm kind of worried about Georgia. I think, like Tony said, Georgia's a hungry team coming off, you know, just at the new year that overtime loss to Kentucky. I mean, what do you think we have to go into Georgia looking at? I mean, Yonte is one heck of a player. What do you think we have to improve on?
Tone, what do you think of that Georgia matchup?
Well, you got two premier players that Don. Bulldog uniforms and J.J. Frazier and Yonte Mayton. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys are I'm gonna really, really be blunt about this. Those two guys may be two of the top 10 players in the league. And so that means they could garner first team all SEC honors. Very talented team, a team that should have beat Kentucky in Lexington. Again, the Zebras come in and impose their will on that basketball game. I watched that basketball game, and it's sad to say it as a coach to see that type of thing happening. But Georgia's a talented team, and they're hungry and they're desperate.
They're desperate, and they're due. That game scares me, Tone, because they've been so close on the road. And look, last time out, Florida popped them bad. We're going to get their attention Saturday because it's really their last chance to dig their heels in. And you know what? Like Tone said, us winning this game will keep this season fun. It'll keep it interesting. It'll keep it compelling. Because now you have storylines going forward. And I got to say, tonight, Tennessee did not handle the moment well until the end of the game. But they tonight were not themselves for whatever reason. And I give Ole Miss a lot of credit for that tone. Andy Kennedy attacks the Vols the way I think you do, which is don't let the guards get comfortable in the half court. Force them to handle the ball. Speaking about Tennessee's guards, pick them up as far out as you can. And then offensively, drive the ball at them. Drive the ball at the Vols. When you do those things, you have a chance to be successful. And you neutralize our outworking you. Which I think is what happened tonight to my caller. But you know what, man? The Vols get out of there with a win, and I'm shocked they did. I thought it was a great midweek basketball game we just saw.
So Tony, it was a fun game to watch, no doubt. It is, it's always nerve wracking watching the Vols at the start of the, second half. I was hoping I could have some of those pain pills you were having.
Amen.
It's the Vols and it's exciting, and we'll see what we do going into Georgia. I mean, I feel like we just played our competition, and we could go down to Georgia and get smashed.
It's
and
here.
Come and beat Kentucky again.
Yeah. So, well, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you.
All right, Tony.
All right, have a Dwight Gooden. As Tennessee gets the win, and Tony, this whole deal is this league we're seeing night in and night out. Like Auburn, after we played them, they're balling out now, Tone. I mean, it's just bizarre. The league is bizarre, right?
Yeah, no question. I mean, I talked to Coach after the big win they had against Alabama, and then his response was, guess what, Tone? It's two L's in roll tie. And he was saying R-O-L-L, meaning that Auburn had beat Alabama twice this year.
Yep.
So, they played well. Then they played well against Mississippi State at home. Bryce Brown came off the bench, scored 18 points, which was a big win. So it's a topsy-turvy league, especially in the middle of the pack. In my estimation right now, it's only three teams that'll make the NCAA tournament, and that's Kentucky, Florida, and South Carolina. The other teams are on the outside looking in, but they can play their way in.
No question.
And the Tennessee Volunteers is one of those teams.
No question.
Hey, you go down, you beat Georgia, and that's a great win. And then you go to Kentucky.
Georgia's here. It's here, but continue.
No, listen.
I'm sorry.
Georgia's home.
Okay.
But then you win, you beat Georgia here, and then you go down to Kentucky and beat Kentucky in Lexington.
What?
And then you're talking about
what?
Really being legitimized and have an opportunity to make the dance.
So you're not, so you say our team matches up with Kentucky and we can get them again. You believe that?
Well, this is what I believe. I believe Kentucky is not a great team. That's what I believe. I believe Kentucky is has talent. They have stature, but Tennessee could go down there and beat them, just like Georgia used to beat them down there. Just like LSU played them a tough game in Lexington.
Great point.
And it just is what it is. And, hopefully, Tennessee can get down to the latter part of the game and win the game. But Kentucky is an overrated team, Tony.
Yes.
They're a team that'll be knocked out in the NCAA tournament in the first or second round.
We saw them here, and somebody just said on Periscope and on Twitter, folks making this point as well, they have no chemistry. And, look, when you bake the AAU cake year after year, and you do what he does, and you roll guys off your schedule, and you have more talent than anybody. Sometimes it's going to work. Sometimes it's not. It's kind of like Golden State right now, with their big acquisition in the offseason, and now Draymond Green, and they're sniping at each other. And I mean, hey, that's the price you pay. That's the price you pay when you fool around with your chemistry, because they have none. Tennessee has very good chemistry. Tennessee made the extra pass tonight. Let me make one more point about tonight's box score that stands out to me. Assist in the basketball game, 17 for the Vols, 9 for Ole Miss. Ole Miss down the stretch, Tone, was not sharing the ball at all. They got a little too dribble drive happy. Tennessee had 17 assists in that basketball game, and that's how you win games. When you have a 17 to 12 turnover ratio, 12's too high, but it's good enough to win tonight. We'll go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. On a night where Davis and Neal both fouled out, where Saiz thought he had four fouls for 15 minutes of the basketball game, but he only had three. And you gotta love that. I mean, you gotta love when stuff like that's going on. That's OSKU right there. When you're pulling a PSYOPs on your opponent in your building. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
TJ and Tony B, what's happening?
Hey, Bean Star. Great to hear from you. Hey, Beano, thank you so much, man, for helping me today after my ordeal yesterday. God bless you, man,
Tony,
for helping me.
No problem at all. Glad. Thanks for all you did for me. I appreciate it.
Hey, Tony B.
Yeah.
Beano, I ain't going to call him Beano Cook, but Beano is the man. He is the man, and good to be on the air with you, sir.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine, TJ. Thank you, sir. How much better is it to be happily stunned than angrily stunned? I mean, I'm as surprised with that win as I was with the games that we blew big leads to lose.
Completely agree, Beano. With 5 minutes left, if you would have asked me, are we winning this game, I would have said, are you crazy? And I might have put effing in front of it. Because that was really frustrating to watch, what they were doing to us.
I was so frustrated watching it because they looked to be tougher than us at about every spot.
Yep.
And we just looked incapable of making the play that you had to make to get yourself back in the basketball game.
No question.
And then those last 4 minutes just basically changed the complexion of this basketball season.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. We walk out of there losing. You got to go to Lexington now and win. You got to go to South Carolina and win. Now, right now, you got life. But I'm still concerned about the Georgia game, especially in light of the way we played today. It scares me.
Well, I mean, we talked about it. And, TJ, you know, as a coach, we've talked about it when you're relying on freshman point guards like we are. Yeah. There's never going to be any real continuity to the season. Yeah. I don't think. I think it's always going to be there's going to be real good spurts and real bad spurts.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get. I mean, you know, when after the Vanderbilt game in Nashville, we thought Jordan Bone was the answer. You know, he's the guy. And now, you know, he's been, relegated to the bench in the latter part of these last few games, because Lamonte has been playing well. But, you know, you kind of scared when Lamonte has the ball. You don't know what type of decision that he's going to make.
Ooh, boy, that's true.
He played well tonight, though, guys. He played a nice second half.
He did. And this, you know, obviously I've already alluded to the big three he made, which was hands down, man down. He didn't have anybody contesting the shot. So in my estimation, I thought it was a good shot. Especially in transition, but with 6 seconds to go, and you got to give Rick Barnes and his staff credit when they call timeout with 6 seconds left. They get the ball inbounds, and Lamonte drives at a gap, and then Jordan Bolton's man makes the commitment to try and stop Lamonte. And then it was an easy pitch to Jordan Bone for the three. If that defender stunts a little bit and makes Lamonte make a decision, then you may have a different result. But Lamonte made the play that probably seals the win.
As crazy as Lamonte makes me with his handle, I'd just soon see him take a big shot, and I'd rather see him be at the free throw line with the game on the line than anybody else we got.
No question. He's proven that he's knocking down money free throws.
Hey, we had no answer for Saiz tonight. If this season's going to be truly special, I just believe we've got to have the Kyle Alexander that we saw against K-State, and we haven't seen much else of.
No, you know, Kyle, you know, didn't play a lot in the second half, and you know, just like Tony alluded to, I mean, the foul situation with Saiz. I mean, he's got four, now he's got three. It's almost like a rec game, you know, a rec finals where, you know, you take a foul away from a guy. I don't.
Great point.
You know, that shouldn't be happening.
That's a great point.
In the SEC. A key point, too, is when Cullen Neal fouled out of the game because he made plays and he wasn't there at the end of the game. And I wanted to applaud you, Tony, on your astute acumen of the game of basketball when you said that Ole Miss was just trying to do a lot of straight line drives and dribble drives and, you know, towards the latter part of the game. And what they were doing is just going into no man's land and getting the shot blocked, and then off of them, and then going the other way. So, Ole Miss contributed to their demise. Tennessee made big plays that contributed to the big win.
Guys, we got a good whistle at home tonight. Huh. We may have been lucky to win, and I say it's about time for both.
You're damn straight, Bino. I'm never apologizing for getting a whistle, and I love you, brother. Thank you.
Take care.
Bring the great Marky Boy Griffin now in with us, former Vol great, who was came up from Nashville for the ball game tonight. Mark, I'll say this. We've talked to a couple people who were at the game. The crowd in tonight's basketball game, Mark Griffin, was tremendous. Had a real serious impact on tonight's game. I want to ask you and Tony about the sequence at the end. The player control call where Tennessee down four, might have been down five at the time, come to think about it. There's a great hustle by Bowden. He knocks the ball away from a guard who's not paying attention to what he's doing. Knocks the ball away from him. Then he's elbowed on in pursuit of the basketball. Guys, player control call there while the team's in the penalty and they didn't reward foul shots. Can you guys explain that to us?
Go ahead, Coach.
Tony Jones, are you there?
Yeah, what you're referring to is, Ole Miss having the ball, and then you're talking about the instance when one of the Ole Miss offensive players ran down a Tennessee defender.
Exactly. They were going for a ball at the end of the half, right? And Tennessee was going to have a 1-1 there. I don't think it was a two-shot situation because I don't think we had 10 yet. But the crowd expected the ball to be there, lined up. Tom Hart and Damian Fishback both thought the same thing. And then Valentine comes over and says, no, player control, player control. Did you guys think that was the right call?
To be perfectly honest,
yes,
and be perfectly blunt, I just think, Tennessee got to better preponderance of the calls tonight.
Okay.
It was a home whistle. I mean, Mike Nance in the start of the second half, Mike Nance just became a whistle happy on Tennessee. everything, I'm on the floor. I mean, things that wasn't fouled on the other end was fouled. And I'm looking at it from an objective point of view because I'm an analyst. Obviously, I wanted Tennessee to win because I want the rest of the season to be fun and this fan base who I love and have a great affinity for. I want them to be able to enjoy this. But I mean, it was puzzling to me. And then Ted Valentine, his history, the theatrics and the sensationalism of calls and things of that nature. He did that in that aspect, and he did it in the second half on a couple of occasions. And then Pat Adams is, he's got a lot. He's got chubby, and I don't even think he can get up and
he's
down.
He's gotten what? What did you say?
He's gotten chubby, and I don't think he can get up and down the floor to get in position to make correct calls.
Oh, my gosh, this was so worth it doing this tonight. Griff, give me your thoughts on what we saw tonight, and I'm sorry for not – I just wanted to start with that. People were asking about that player control deal, and I wanted to see what you guys thought.
Well, and to add to that, Tony,
go ahead.
My angle, I didn't think that Tennessee had possession, mm-hmm. so I don't know how they could have called 1-1 in that situation. It was right in front of me. From my angle, it just didn't look like Tennessee had possession to be able to call that. So I actually thought it was a good call.
Fighting for the ball, in other words. For nobody's basketball. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think it was anybody's ball. That's from where I was sitting and my angle.
Looked like an XFL kickoff back in the day where they put him back and let him run and go get the ball. Anyway, so, Griff, your thoughts on tonight's basketball game?
Well, I concur with Coach Tony there as far as the calls. We got a lot of breaks. I thought it was a very badly refereed game, but to Tony's point, the first 4 minutes of the second half I always focus on and mm-hmm. even take notes to see how Tennessee comes out to play and, mm-hmm. And if they can, you know, turn the game around. And it was 6-0, you know, fouls for Ole Miss to Tennessee when it was 15:56 on the clock. So it was, I mean, it was the momentum could have, you know, easily shifted foul-wise. And Tennessee was in a double bonus with right at, I think, 9 minutes 54 seconds. So that played into our hands to see that Tennessee could come back. And I felt more comfortable, even though we would cut it to 3, then they'd get it to 5. We weren't getting defensive stops as we should have. We're able to score, but we just couldn't stop them. But I felt because of the foul calls against Ole Miss that Tennessee at the end of the game could be in a position to go to the free throw line. So it just happened to turn out in our favor.
You know, Vino made a great point. Ole Miss tonight looked at times until the last 5 minutes when it was winning time. They looked tougher until the last 5 minutes, which is really when it matters. I mean, all the rest of that's window dressing. What's the old saying, Tone, in the coaching profession? Both of you guys, you play 35 to play 5. I mean, basically, that's what tonight's game was. It was like, okay, last 5 minutes, here we go. Let's see who's going to dig down. Mark, I thought for 35 minutes in that game, and I was surprised by this, but they really bullied us. I was thinking, you know, that game down at Oxford wasn't so fluky after all. These guys match up well with us. That's what I came out of there thinking.
Especially Saiz. We don't match up well against him at all. He's a heck of a player, and I'm really impressed by him. What I saw the last 5 minutes, they went to more of a two-man game with the point guard dribbling off the high post, trying to draw a foul, going to the basket against Turner. And went away with their normal motion offense and able to get the ball into Saiz. Now, with that said, I think Tennessee did a good job the whole night, which they changed from the first game. They doubled Saiz every time he got the ball from Admiral Schofield was the double man. He always came over and doubled when Saiz got the ball in the post, and then he was having to throw it back out to the opposite guard. So I just think that Coach Kennedy got away from his bread and butter, which was getting the ball to Saiz at the end of the game.
You know what I love, guys, about this game, and then we'll go back to the phones. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. What I love about tonight's game is that you see that with everything that goes on in the game of basketball, it truly is a game of matchups. It truly is a game of make me play your game or I'm going to make you play mine. It truly is a game of when the other team's doing that, you've got to hang in there till the game turns for you. There was a lot of the officiating kind of marred the game, but I thought the kids, for the most part, on both teams handled that game pretty well because both teams were in each other's jocks. I mean, that was a really damn fun basketball game to watch, guys, I thought. A midweek, that was a good, solid basketball game, and I'm not making like one of these SEC network stooges. Is Tom Hart, who I love to death, and he's not a stooge, and the guy next to him, do they get paid commission for all the selling they do on air? I mean, do they get a commission for that? Do they get 20% of all that nonsense that they spew? I mean, they make this league sound like it's the ACC when Branch, Bias, Worthy, Perkins, Jimmy Black are in the league. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? Anyway. Any comments, guys, and then we'll go to the phones. No comments. All right, very good. 865-200-5402. I mean, do those guys get paid commission? Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, John Feet with somebody.
Hey, buddy, welcome in.
Sir. Hey, is Lamonte Turner letting that guy go by him and feeding him into the lane? Is that what he's trying to do?
Tony, is Lamonte Turner funneling that guy into the lane, or is that guy beating Lamonte Turner into the lane?
Well, it depends on what type of defense they're running. You know, you got a defense called ice where you're trying to force people to the baseline, to the sideline, and then you zoning up, the big guys zoning up if they ball screening. And then you got your help coming over and rallying to the ball and rotating it, and then guys maybe coming over and taking charges, or in Grant Williams' position a couple times, he came over and made the block. It just depends on the defense, that Tennessee was running. You know,
right.
they were, it looked like they were straight line drives, and Lamonte was just letting them, drive from the 45 degree angle on the wing in and from the top, the elbows. But that could have been, Tennessee's defensive philosophy.
It looked like, as Aaron Woody said here, it looks like Lamonte was just kind of letting him around so he could go score the ball, to quote Konzo Martin. I mean, he was beating him so badly at times, guys, that let's hope and pray he was letting him go around him.
I'm thinking just strictly like, in the game.
Just like I said, I mean, if he wasn't squaring him up,
right.
I mean, you square a guy up to play defense. Now, if you forcing him to a side and making him go away, then you're expecting help, and rallying to the ball defensively to be able to force the ball handler to make a decision. And that could indeed been Tennessee's philosophy. So, at the end of the day, Tennessee won the game, so we can't criticize the young man.
No, sir.
For doing what he did.
No, sir.
He finished with, what, 4 assists and 3 turnovers. So I guess he's plus 1 there.
He struggles.
He had one of his better games.
I agree.
He still looks like, there's times when he looks so tentative with the basketball, like he's either scared to make a mistake or he's just not quite 100% sure where he's going with it. And then conversely, Jordan Bone, he had 5 assists and 1 turnover. He's been so steady with the basketball, what I feel like has been the entire year.
Is it interesting that he only played 17 minutes tonight?
Bone.
Tony.
He hadn't been shooting the ball as well.
I mean, you know, if he plays 17 minutes,
right.
that means Lamonte Turner played 23 minutes.
Which he did. He played 21.
Something along that nature. And then, you know, obviously, I know a little bit some about that because, you know, I was in charge of substitutions, you know, for Bruce Pearl at Tennessee and at Auburn. And we go into games saying, hey, 2020 at the point guard position between Jordan and Lamonte. If one of those individuals play a little bit better than the other, then that number could be skewed a little bit. And you see that number, 21, 23, 17.
Yep.
That can happen depending on performance.
Hey, Tony, I got one more thing before I jump off. So if you look at, let's call it, the last 7 games, would you call the last, we won, 6 out of the last 7, right? And I kind of asked this on Russ's show, and I don't want to go back over it again, but is it the last 6 or 7, the ones we've won, is that the norm, and the loss was the anomaly, or have the wins been the, you know what I mean?
It's going to be great to say. It's what's really interesting about it. And the other thing you've got right now is you've got these kids on this team, and there's a thing called a freshman wall that's real when you talk to coaches because they're not used to playing this many minutes with this much pressure, and you're going to have that to deal with. Not to mention some of the nagging injury issues. This team right here, though, I'll give them a lot of credit because they're not afraid. They weren't afraid at Chapel Hill. They weren't afraid earlier in the year. They weren't afraid after they got blown out by Chattanooga earlier in the year when they played in that preseason tournament and they played everybody toe-to-toe. They weren't afraid tonight. And so that's something. And I tell you what, if this team gets into some postseason basketball, they're a team not a lot of people will want to see
because
they're a damn headache. We're a headache. That's what we are.
Yep. Hey, so make sure you check out that Charles Oakley fight, Tony. Get well, buddy.
Appreciate you, brother. Yeah, I want to see the Charles Oakley fight. Griff, your thoughts on his phone call, some of the points he made about were we funneling their guard into our big people, or was Turner being beaten tonight regularly? What'd you say?
From where I was sitting, to me, it looks like he was getting beat. If he was funneling, then unfortunately for 75% of the time, we weren't getting help side.
Mm.
So if he was funneling, you've got to have that weak side man on the block come over and help. And we weren't getting that consistently. Now, at the end, they did get some good blocks on their point guard. were able to make adjustments. And like Coach said, I mean, Tennessee was able to pull it out, the victory. So that's what matters. And I'd rather UT defend the way they did as opposed to playing behind Saez and letting him go to work. So the transition defense, or the defense they played at the end, was much more effective than what they were doing against Saez earlier in the game.
Saez is he's a load, Mark.
I love that kid.
I take him in a heartbeat.
He just plays well within himself. Very under control. Great, you know, did a really great. I don't know what his stats were at the free throw line. It seemed like he was about 4 for 4, but you know, he didn't take a lot of shots. I'm just surprised they didn't go to him even more.
Yeah.
It frees up your guards when you're able to go down to your post, because obviously Tennessee, when they were double teaming, that was leaving a guy wide open. But I really think that was the biggest adjustment from last game, was that Tennessee decided, we're going to take our chance. We're going to double down low, and we're going to make a guard beat us from you know, 3-point range. In which the first half, I noticed that Ole Miss was 5 of 15, and UT I think was 0 of 4. So they took a lot of 3-point shots in the first half.
865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us on this evening, where Tennessee wins and the Volunteers get a much needed midseason victory. Up next is Georgia, 4 o'clock start in Thompson Bowling Arena, a Georgia team that has not played well, not played to their level thus far in the season, a Georgia team that really could be having a special year right now if they would have gotten a few breaks. They had a heartbreaking loss at Texas A&M that was just bizarre. They had a heartbreaking loss at Kentucky that was, looked like something that Vince McMahon could have scripted in the back room with Pat Patterson back in the day. They had a loss to South Carolina that was an absolute rip your heart out, gut punch, stand the man Stasiak up in the Cobo Arena back in the day. Tony Jones knows about that. That's a team that, for whatever reason, doesn't play well, and Tennessee's got to get them. Tennessee goes 2-0 this week. They set themselves up to start thinking about making the big dance. They start thinking about it. I'm not saying you think about it. You start kind of think about it. We'll go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Before we do, the freshman wall and the concern about that, guys, is that real when you have this many young players? Tony?
I mean, it's a concern, but, I mean, these young kids, I mean, 19, 20 years old. I mean, they play AAU basketball, where in some instances they play 4 and 5 games.
Yes.
A day and things of that nature. Mark makes a good point about freshmen and all the other periphery things.
Yeah.
You know, where the pressure, the expectations now, and then you get family members calling. You got AAU coaches calling. You got your boys and buddies calling, saying, "Hey, we can make the tournament. Hey, now's your chance to shine the light on yourself."
Yep.
And I'm gonna tell you, I've been there, done that. In some instances, you got people that have ulterior motives and they're set in blinders. So you got to be able to compartmentalize all that outside noise and focus on what your coaching staff is trying to teach you.
Awesome stuff. Let's go back to our phones. Get our next call in. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. To our next caller, we welcome you in at 27 past 9 o'clock in the Eastern Time Zone. All lines are currently jammed, as they will stay throughout. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Hello, you're on the air. Welcome. Okay, you're gone. Next call. Hello and welcome. Hello.
Tony, you there?
Yeah, go right ahead, please. Thank you.
Yes, sir. First time caller, guys, and want to say thank you for what you're doing for Tennessee basketball.
Hey, thank you.
Anywhere else.
Thank you. We love it. We're passionate about it.
I had two things. First thing, I think Ole Miss sucks, and I think we're lucky to win that game. I don't think they're very good, but they're physical. Do you think that it's advantageous for us to get in these knockdown, drag out games, everybody's fouling and dribbling the ball off their leg out of bounds and all that crap? Or do you think we're better off getting more of a run and gun situation? And then the second thing I wanted to ask you guys is, I don't think we're a tournament team,
right?
Because I think this might be a situation like with the Ole Miss, the last Ole Miss game was an aberration in a win streak, that this might be a win in a losing streak. I don't know that, but let's just say the stars line up, we get into the dance. Realistically, the best version of ourselves, how far can we go in the NCAA tournament before we would hit a team that we just could not beat playing up to our best level? And I will hang up and listen. Thanks again, guys.
Generally, in an NCAA tournament situation, guys, you're going to play somebody that's got solid guard play. Most of the teams that get there have solid guard play, and I'm talking about really solid guard play. My guess would be if Tennessee were to sneak in right now, they would probably get on, what would they get, guys? Would they be on a 12-5 line, 13-4 line? Let's just project ahead. Let's say it's crazy and they make it. Out of that play-in game, somebody refresh my memory. What,
11-11.
Okay. And then from there you play?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know, Tony.
Like a five, is it a six, maybe?
Five,
okay.
Five plays 12. 11-6.
11-6, okay.
Things of that nature.
Okay, yeah.
If Tennessee got in, they'd be 12 or 13. And things of that nature. But, guys, you know, you're being way too premature talking about the NCAA tournament right now. It's a team that's 14-10 and 6-5 in the league, and that doesn't get a lot of respect. However, you know, what's going for the Volunteers basketball ballers is a great RPI and a great schedule.
Yep.
So, but yet and still, it's a number of variables. So it's still way too early to be talking about the NCAA. Let's just talk about postseason, and then if we can pull off some of these wins in these upcoming games, then maybe we can discuss that.
865-200-5402. By the way, guys, on that player control issue, both Tubbs were up. They were in an uproar tonight. I heard from Kyle Blackburn, a man on the spot earlier, told me that they were really energized. They were fired up. Really exciting.
They were telling people to stand up as well. I could hear them
saying, stand up.
The Tubbs were screaming, stand up. If I can show this to my Periscopers, and Mr. Tubbs has carte blanche because he went down at halftime and grabbed himself a stat sheet down there. So he's official party now. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. This is from JC, an Ole Miss fan. He writes, Andy Kennedy is the Butch Johnson of basketball. Butch Johnson. Anyway, JC's been drinking. He's the Butch Johnson of basketball. We got 5-star uniforms, 2-star coaching in the last 4 minutes. hey, guys, he didn't exactly help himself in the last 4 minutes, did he? I mean, one thing that Mark brought up, Tony, earlier is, why don't you call Saez's number there down the stretch? Get the ball in his hands.
You know what? I've competed against Andy on a number of occasions. He wasn't as animated on the sidelines as I've seen him in previous games. It didn't even look like he was on the 15-minute mark of the second half foul. And I'm going to tell you, if that was Bruce Pearl, if that was John Calipari, if that was Rick Barnes, you're going to let the officials know, hey, we're on the road. You're better than that. It's 6-0. What are you doing?
You're better than
that. We're not getting fouled on this other end. Come on, man. And that's the type of veracity and intensity that you got to have for your team. And I just didn't see it in Andy, and I was surprised by that. You know, his team did play with poise for the greater preponderance of the game, But they kind of dropped the ball in the last 4 minutes, and they allowed Tennessee to steal a game in Knoxville that Ole Miss should have won.
And Tony said earlier, Mark, that it's just like that first game we played with them. You go to a certain timeout, you come back from the break, and the two teams have basically switched uniforms. It was the damnedest thing I'd ever seen. I mean, if you could have told me, guys, with 5 minutes left, we were going to win that game by 9 points, I would have said, what are you smoking? Can I have something, and will it help my back pain? Those are the three things I would have asked you in that order, and that's exactly what happened. I don't know how you guys hang around that sport, because that would drive me nuts, being involved in a sport like that day in and day out, guys. That would make me crazy.
Well, one thing, Tony, that stood out, too, is Tennessee did well against Ole Miss's 2-3 defense. They didn't stay in a 2-3 much.
Right.
But then when Ole Miss went, when they made it on a made basket, they would go to the 1-3-1. I thought that Tennessee struggled during a stretch of the game against the 1-3-1. And then, of course, once they could score, I mean, or prevent Ole Miss from scoring, they were able to prevent them from setting up in their defense. But I think that was something that I don't think Tennessee has seen much this year, 1-3-1, and really, I thought, struggled throughout the night in that 1-3-1 against Ole Miss.
I agree with that. The thing that you didn't see tonight that we have seen against various zone-type defenses is Hubs wasn't as active as he usually is against them with his intermediate game. Obviously is feeling the effects of what's going on with him, although he didn't look like it on that one fast break when he got out in the open. I mean, good gosh, that guy can really elevate. What a gifted athlete. Let's go back to the phones. We'll get as many calls in here as we can. This is your smart way. Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. We're coming up on 50-plus minutes here. I've got a good hour in me tonight simply because I've been really going through some debilitating stuff, and it's been rough, so I'd appreciate your prayers. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys, it's Smitty. What's going on?
Hey, Smitty.
Hey, Bob, he took over the game in the last 3 minutes. What about that?
Yes, he did.
I got to give the guy credit. I mean, he took up for the team in the loss last week. He and he showed it in the last 3 minutes of this game. I mean, that's the Bob Hubs I like to see. I mean, that play that he made to turn – throw it inbounds is lucky, but to throw it inbounds to Grant Williams, get the basket, that changed the game.
Yep.
I think that changed the whole complexion of the game.
It's a 5-point game error, and they're getting the ball. And as Tony says, you get on the court there and you score, or like on their possession when they had three offensive rebounds, when you see them not convert there, you go up, kick the three ball up, all of a sudden, it's a 2-point game. I mean, it's a totally different game in those two circumstances that you're talking about.
So, for sure. I just wanted to say this because, I mean, we're sitting here, we're well through halfway through the season, and I'm just amazed that this team is even considered for NCAA hopes. It's just amazing to me that I would have never, ever thought at the beginning of the season, after halfway through the season, that this team would even be considered an NCAA hopes. I mean, this is awesome. This is really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into every play as everybody else is. And from what, you know, everybody's saying, the crowd was great tonight. You could hear it on TV mm-hmm. through those two terrible announcers we had. It was a lot of fun. I mean, this is a really good game where we got outplayed big time. And Andy Kennedy, yeah, I mean, you want to talk about settling for mediocre, that's the coach you're going to get right there.
Well, just a couple of your points. I think the announcers did a nice job. My problem with those guys on that SEC network is, guys, quit selling. I mean, geez Louise.
Well, don't try to sell Pat Adams and...
Thank you.
EDK.
Call it like it is.
My man.
When it's shitty and the officiating is that bad, say something about it. And don't try to sell me that Tennessee Ole Miss is Syracuse and St. John's back in the Garden circa 1984. I mean, come on, Tom Hart. And I love Tom Hart. He's my guy. But do they get commission is my question. If they're getting commission, him and Fishback tonight are walking out of there with a lot of money if they're getting commission from that broadcast.
I sure hope so, because, I mean, good gracious.
Awesome.
I mean, they're acting like a million people watching that game.
Exactly. And I'll tell you something. Hey.
Ole Miss fans who don't really care, they're really not watching. It's really just the Tennessee fan base watching that game.
I am super proud of what we saw tonight from the Vols. Thanks, man. I appreciate the call. I can't tell you how proud I am, because you guys know, look, anybody wins when they bring their A game. Tony, people win when they bring their B game. How many teams, Tony, win when they bring their C-plus game? You got to be a pretty damn good basketball team to win when you play like Tennessee played tonight and run away from somebody at the end, right?
Well, I mean, you know, they play close enough to stay within striking distance. And then, you know, Ole Miss kind of it imploded towards the latter part of the game. And Tennessee made big plays. You know, they made big shots. Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bolden towards the end of the game. They just made big shots, and that's what happened. Just to comment on the announcers, you know, I do know Damian Fishback. During my time at Auburn, I had an opportunity to meet him and kind of hang out with him a little bit for
right.
Auburn Tiger. And, you know, those guys are getting paid by the SEC. So what they have to do is try and display that product in a positive light. So you got to understand that is what it is. From a consumer standpoint, from a fan standpoint, we know, you got to understand what they're trying to do, and then just don't hate on them for, you know, that hustle.
Tony, look, I don't mind a little bit of it. I don't mind that. I that's fine. I totally understand. But people have intelligence today. You're not convincing anybody. I mean, you're just not. And
I agree.
Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Not to belabor that point. The great Tony Jones is here. TJ, tell him who's sponsoring you tonight, and then we'll go back to the phones.
I'm sponsored by the Knoxville Basketball Academy. It's a division of H3 Sports. I'm sponsored by Roar Beverages, a new breed of sports drink formulated for the athlete of tomorrow. And it will be in retailers across Tennessee soon, and by the Alley Bar and Grill on Kingston Pike.
The great Mark Griffin is here as well. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. And Griff tonight, and Tony Jones, and Keith Hatfield's on assignment. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, thanks for the plug in, man.
Thank you, T.
Hey, what's up there in San Antonio? San Antonio.
What's good, man? How you doing?
Hey, mate. I know you got some orange on tonight, man. You got some orange on like my boy Rick Barnes tonight. You got some orange on, don't you?
I thought Rick did a good job of keeping his team competitive, keeping them close, within striking distance, especially when Ole Miss was dominating the game. And then, especially, some people would be like, why did you call a timeout with 6 seconds left on the shot clock, and it's 50 seconds to go in the game, and we're up two? And, he seen that the offense was kind of stagnant or discombobulated, and he didn't think that Lamonte was attacking that zone the way that he thought they should, and he came out and ran a play, and it was executed, but most importantly, it was finalized by Jerry Bolden down to three.
I appreciate you, focusing on that juncture of the game, man. That was critical. Yeah, that was great, Tony. I appreciate it, San Antonio. You pinpointing that one, man. But Hubs, he came back to play. You know, he disappeared like my boy Tony B, you know, we all saw Saturday. He disappeared with that injury, but he's back. I mean, it was Turner delivered. It was like a tournament game.
It was.
It was a tournament qualifier, man. We had to have it, man. We had to hold serve, man. I was thinking Schofield. Schofield was on early, he was trying to give us over the hump, but he couldn't. You know, he couldn't quite do it, but.
Hey, let me ask Mark.
I don't want to leave nobody out, man.
Marky Boy Griffin, did Coach had some orange on tonight, right?
Coach Barnes. Yeah, man.
Yeah, he wore some orange tonight.
Uh,